Good morning, I'm Paul Qualia, the Director of APAC Assistance. I'm doing a roundup for East Asia Pacific, Monday the 25th of March. Firstly, in Thailand. In Thailand's general election held yesterday, the pro-military Palang Pracharat Party appeared to have won the most votes, followed closely by the Phu Thai Party, as vote counts reached 92% as of 10:30 p.m. last night. The Election Commission said 66% or 33.7 million of voters cast their votes. According to data provided by the Commission's rapid report system, the Palang Pracharat Party won more than 7.5 million votes or 22.2%. The Phu Thai Party won 7.1 million or 21%. The Future Forward Party, 5.2 million votes or 15%. The Democrat Party, 3.2 million or 9.5% votes. And the Bumjai Thai Party won 3.2 million votes. The Democrats did not win a seat in Bangkok. The parliamentary seats in the capital were divided between the Palang Pracharat Party, the Phu Thai Party, and the Future Forward Party. Because of the Democrat Party's poor showing, Abhisit Vijaya, the former Prime Minister, resigned as the party's leader. However, Abhisit announced his party's willingness to coalesce with other parties. The vote results indicate that the Thais currently respect the army leadership more than the established parties. The Future Forward Party is expected to coalesce with the Phu Thai Party and its other small allies, but their combined votes is unlikely to get the majority seats in the lower house. The Palang Pracharat Party is expected to work to form a coalition, gathering small parties like the Democratic Party. It is uncertain, though, whether Palang Pracharat's prospective coalition government will be able to get a majority in the House of Representatives. Foreign media has again shown a lack of understanding and impartiality on the situation. For example, Channel News Asia gave a microscopic drill down on two Singapore companies that had lost 2% of their share value with an exposure to Thailand. They focused in on one bank and one F&B company and falsely attributed the 2% decrease to Thai domestic matters. This was despite the STI, Nikkei, Cosby, Shanghai, Shenzhen and Hang Seng all being down 1.5% to 3%. In the same segment, they failed to mention issues that allow a strength of governments from the Palang Pracharat Party. The Palang Pracharat Party being voted into the representatives will allow increased and continued stability for Thailand. Recent currency strength is on the back of a lack of volatility, and there are now conditions allowing for a continued strong account surplus. A forecast of stability without volatility will indeed allow necessary structural changes and a rare chance in Thailand to have a government wanting to actually govern. Immediately after this poorly constructed and misleading presentation by Channel News Asia, they contradicted themselves by having a foreign analyst from Pinebridge who made valid points that highlighted the incorrect nature of Channel News Asia's attempts to link the Singapore share price decreases to the Thai market. In Indonesia, the first phase of Jakarta's MRT, Indonesia's first subway, opened yesterday, with President Joko Widodo officially inaugurating it at the Hotel Indonesia station. The first phase of the MRT line covers 13 stations along a 15.7 kilometre route from Lebak Bulus station in South Jakarta to the Hotel Indonesia Circle in Central Jakarta. Yesterday also marked the groundbreaking ceremony for the second phase of MRT Jakarta, which will span a further 7.8 kilometres connecting Hotel Indonesia traffic circle to Kota Station in West Jakarta. The project is expected to be completed by the year 2024. It's yet to see what effect the MRT Jakarta will have on Jakarta's notorious traffic congestion. Also in Indonesia, President Joko Widodo was combative when he addressed thousands of supporters in his team's first campaign rally in Yogyakarta on March 23. I have been silent for 4.5 years in the face of slander, but today, in Yogyakarta, I tell you I will fight. He reportedly criticised his opponent openly, the former military general Prabowo Subianto, something he had previously refrained from doing. Widodo said that Indonesia cannot be entrusted to someone with no governing experience. it appears that Widodo has been fired up by a recent survey by Compass showing that Prabowo is gaining significant ground weeks ahead of the April 17 presidential election. Most other surveys indicate that Widodo has a comfortable lead of over 20 points over the former general, who ran against Widodo unsuccessfully in 2014. Widodo's team is clearly taking the results of the Compass poll seriously. In Papua New Guinea, the opposition leader, MP Belden Nama, said the government must respect the outcome of the Bougainville referendum in October. He was reacting to Prime Minister Peter O'Neill's statement that the vote is not binding, as the National Parliament will decide the final outcome. In the event of Bougainville Island voting for full independence, it is uncertain whether the PNG National Parliament, which is now dominated by allies of the Prime Minister, will endorse the outcome. In Myanmar, fighting between the Myanmar military and the ethnic rebel Arakan army continues in Rakhine State. The military reported yesterday that on March 22, the Arakan army ambushed their troops in two separate incidents in two villages in western Rakhine. The attacks reportedly left two government soldiers injured and three ethnic rebels dead. On March 22, seven other civilians were killed when the security forces reportedly opened fire on people in a township in northern Rakhine State. Eight other villages were injured. Locals said the fatalities included six ethnic Rakhines and one Rohingya Muslim who were hiding in a bomb shelter when they were fired upon. The locals had fled the village. The rebel Arakan army claimed that there was no fighting between the group and the military just wanted to punish the villagers. The fighting in Rakhine is likely to intensify, with the Ta'ang National Liberation Army threatening to join the war. Eight armed ethnic groups that have not signed the nationwide ceasefire agreement, including the Arakan Army and the Ta'ang National Liberation Army, were supposed to meet with the military's representatives separately to discuss ending conflicts on March 22. However, the absence of reports may suggest that dialogues did not proceed. Clients were again advised to avoid Rakhine and its neighbouring states as fighting between the military and ethnic rebels intensifies. In the Philippines, the military arrested a spokesperson of the National Democratic Front of the Philippines, the NDFP, in Nacalan in South Luzon yesterday. Frank Fernandez was the sixth NDFP official arrested since the government terminated its peace talks with the Communist Party of the Philippines in late 2017. More arrests of leaders of the communist movement are expected, as are more attacks in the countryside by the New People's Army. Clients in the Philippines are advised to employ high-risk security measures in known communist hotbeds, including the Cagayan region in northern Luzon, the Bicol region in southern Luzon, and the entire Mindanao Island. Please check us out at www.apacassistance.com, where you can buy our advisories, alerts and assessments on a pay-for-view basis, or email us at info@apacassistance.com to inquire about our East Asia Pacific or South Asia operational risk management memberships. Thank you.